Most of the people that are watching this right now don't have a podcast studio. They're not that, and I think they're a little bit intimidated by a lot of people that go, okay, what you got to do is you got to get an O-ring light, and then you want to put a green screen behind you. And what you need, how can you start, or do you need to have a whole studio, or how do I start? Just hi, I'm Steve.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mortgage Influencers, where we bring you professionals who share insight into the latest trends, tips, industry technology, and services to help you be a mortgage influencer in your mortgage business.
But you look and sound great. So
yeah, now that we're here, counts. We can roll. Counts. Yes. Okay, guys, welcome. Welcome to another episode of Mortgage Influencers. It's Wednesday, which means we're here to talk about what kind of an influence you have on the industry. And I have Scott Shang. Hi, Scott.
Hello.
And Steve Richman. Hello. And we have
everybody.
And we have a special guest today. I'm excited to really hop in and find out what she's doing to just kill it in her market. And that is Miss Rachel Tarman. Rachel, hello.
Hi, how are you guys?
We are good. So today we're going to talk about podcasts. And it's a conversation that is near and dear to my heart. I've been doing podcasts for a long, long time. And I know Steve and Scott, and probably even Rachel, we were doing podcasts back when they were called webinars.
Dun, dun, dun. That's everybody asking, what's the difference between a podcast and a webinar? Well, you tell me.
Yeah.
Where you go to listen to it, I guess.
Right.
Exactly. So let's just hop right in. So Rachel, I'd love for you to introduce yourself, kind of talk about where your market is, what you do, your background and things like that. So you're in Arizona, right?
I am.
The Phoenix area?
Yeah, Scottsdale, Phoenix area. Our offices are headquartered here in Scottsdale.
Okay, perfect. And what is your role? What do you do?
Yeah, so I work in the mortgage industry, but I'm not an originator. So I've never done a loan in my life. I never plan on doing a loan in my life, but I do business development for our team. Basically, what that means in a nutshell is I'm the face of our brand. So I'm out there building relationships in the community, working with our agent partners and really helping them grow their business. And in turn, we grow ours. I wanted to change the narrative of the loan officer agent relationship and really make it a team effort instead of a, you know, you and them type of thing. And so when I came on to be business development, my business partner was like, I have no idea what that means. I'm like, we're going to figure it out. So I absolutely love it. I love working with our agent partners. My background is actually in education. I have a master's in education. So it just allows me to work in the educational realm, just in kind of a non-conventional way.
I love it. And you're preaching to the choir here, because all of us love being able to do the branding and the business development and everything all around education.
Yeah.
So,
in a non-conventional way, I think.
No pun intended.
I love it. Okay. So I want to make sure everybody's, before we go on, I just want to make sure if someone can just type into the chat. It looks like we are live. And it looks like we have our participants on our webinar. So if someone can either type into the chat or the Q&A and just let us know that you all can hear us. And where you're calling in from as well. So we like to obviously get an idea on that. I just want to make sure I didn't mess anything up too much when I hit whatever button I hit. So
the eject button.
The eject ginger button.
There we go. There's something in the Q&A.
All right, Roger, thank you. James, thank you.
Chat says it says chat's disabled.
Well, chat's not here anyway, so. Okay, good. So they can hear us. Okay, so Scott, go ahead. Ask Rachel what you're going to ask.
Oh, I was just going to ask Rachel, because I've known you for a little while through Freedom Club, and I know you've been doing this for a little bit, but I love that role that you're playing, and I love how you are positioning yourself for that. And so anybody that's listening, you didn't have mortgage experience when you started, but right. You got a teacher's heart. You kind of get servant leader type. How long have you been doing this?
So it'll be 5 years in September.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. The same company?
Same team. Yep.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
All right. So let's talk about some of the things that you're doing, because, you know, there's so many opportunities to do education, whether you're doing it around programs, whether you're helping real estate agents, you know, I want to talk about two different things. I want to get into your podcast in a minute, but besides the podcast, what's one of the things that you're doing right now that you're seeing really is helping stand out, not only for your originators, but for your referral partners as well?
Yeah, I think for me, the biggest thing is accountability and coaching. So not only do I have personal coaches, I think it's really important for all of us to have some sort of person who can kind of look at your business and say, what are we missing? Right. And I think we saw this more so than ever when the market shifted and rates went from twos to where they're at now. You know, agents and loan officers were wondering, where am I going to get my business from? I don't even know what to do to generate business because it has been so automated for me for the past, you know, couple months, years during the pandemic. And so having someone that can really look at your business and figure out what do you love to do and how can you incorporate that so it's a money-making activity. And I had to do that in my own business. You know, what am I spending time on? What's a time waster? What is going really well for me? And how do I really deep dive into that to get more success instead of trying to add something new that I have no idea works? So having a person that, if you want to call it accountability, that's cool too, but someone that can basically look at your business and say, here's what you're missing, or you're overlooking this, right? So for agents, I always make my agents go through and pull their last 2 years of transactions. Where did you find that buyer or seller? And we haven't listed out. So if we start to see a pattern, let's say, you know, 70% of it is open houses, and that person hasn't done an open house in 6 months, then we really need to like hit that hard and identify your three pillars of business and come up with a game plan. So instead of saying, I'm going to do open houses to generate business, what does that look like? How often are you doing them? What are the hours? How is it plugged into your schedule? So adding structure into people's businesses is something that I really love to do and to help my agents really stay on top of their game to make sure they're making money.
I love that. And the accountability too is something when you are working with agents that they may not be familiar with, that they may not have been through, because, you know, obviously with rates being so low,
right,
originators have gone through a great market. Real estate agents have gone through an amazing market. Mm-hmm. And so for them, having an idea is, and I love going back, where did you get this?
Right.
What are you doing now to repeat that? Because sometimes, and sometimes they need to maybe even go back to before sure. they were busy to say, okay. The other thing is just being open to new ideas. And so that's one of the things that you're doing with the podcast. And so I want to really just dive into this. And so okay. it's Tea with Rachel.
The Real Tea with Rachel. Play on words.
Real Tea. T-E-A with Rachel. Mm-hmm. With just an E, no A, right?
Yeah. No extra vowels.
So how did you come up with the name?
I just thought it was cute. And I was listening to like people say when they're gossiping, right? It's the real tea, or can you give me the tea on this? And so I was like, real tea is like realty, you know, real estate. Right. So, and then obviously the R theme is my name. So I'm like, how can I like add this? And my podcast studio was like, that's really cliche. And I was like, well, it's fine. I like it. So, so that's what we went with. And I didn't spend too much time on it. I was more concerned about, you know, the content and pushing it out, but I knew I wanted to be real estate based.
Yeah. And I love it. The play on words. And I think the branding is important in your name. It's not everything, but it needs right. to be something that is recallable, that people can remember, the fact that it relates to the real estate. Mm-hmm. So I do encourage people when we're working with them on developing their podcast is spend a little bit of time coming up with the name, whether it's something that speaks to real estate, whether it's something that speaks to you and your branding. But I think the branding is worth spending some time on. So, okay. So with that, who is your audience? Oh, Steve has a question.
I got a question.
What do you got?
You said something, Rachel. See, I'm back in school.
I love it.
Rachel, you said something right as you were talking. You say, as I'm building my brand, I went to my podcast studio and they thought, hold on. Most of the people that are watching this right now don't have a podcast studio. They're not that. And I think they're a little bit intimidated by a lot of people that go, okay, what you got to do is you got to get an O-ring light. And then you want to put a green screen behind you. And what you need. How can you start, or do you need to have a whole studio, or how do I start? Just, hi, I'm Steve.
Yeah. So for me, I knew that I would never purchase the lights and the microphone, and I didn't even know what type. And I was like, why am I trying to do something that I'm not really good at, which is the techie stuff? So for me, I looked at podcast studios within the Scottsdale area. And there are actually studios out there. And this is pretty common across the US. If you just type in like podcast studios, there are companies that will produce, record, edit, all of that stuff for your podcast. So all I have to do is show up with my guest, or, you know, click my computer in if I have a Zoom guest, put my headset on and talk. And I knew that I was really good at that. They handle the rest. They're called Pod Populi. They're amazing. They're in like 7 different states. So they do everything for me. And then I just tell them, here's what I want it to say, and here's when it needs to drop. So they did all the music and the fun, you know, techie stuff that I'm not good at. And I knew I would never do. I would just let it not happen at that point. So if it's something you don't love doing, outsource it. That's the biggest thing for me.
Especially on the tech side. And you don't. So to answer your question, Steve, and the fact that Rachel, she knows her discipline. And so the fact of having that place to go to physically have that accountability was important to her. You don't have to have that to start a podcast. So we have clients that we produce their podcasts, and they honestly just do it from their office, and they do it through Zoom, and they use their just standard HD camera, and it's fine. I mean, I did that through COVID, where I did the Flatten the Curve, Not the Spirit podcast, and we just did Zoom meetings. Scott, you do it through StreamYard, right?
Yeah.
So if the technology, and I think that's a great question, Steve, as far as, you know, how do I get started? Don't let the technology hold you back, because there are resources that are available to be able to help you get started. And that's probably, you know, Scott and I did a call yesterday as far as kind of unpacking some of the different technology that goes into recording podcasts, you know, everything that goes around video, because I think that is something that, if you overanalyze, and I had a client yesterday we were doing a call with, that he honestly has the best camera, the best lighting. He went and got all the equipment, never shot a video. He was really good at getting things, but he would never shoot a video. And it was analysis by paralysis. It's like, honestly, you know, it's a phone. I test stuff all the time. So even though Rachel's doing that, doesn't mean you have to do that. Okay. That just works for Rachel. So I think that's the first thing. Okay. So we talked about branding. You get it. You go and you record at a studio. Yeah. So that's possible. Or you can use Zoom, or you can use StreamYard. Definitely outsource. Probably one of the biggest things. Don't try to do it. There's RSS feeds, there's directories, there's hosting, there's some different parts of it. So definitely outsource it. But I want to get into really the gold. And that is who you're inviting and what you've seen as far as a return on that. So who is your podcast for? I always talk about the 3 W's. So whenever you're doing a video, whenever you're doing a podcast, who is it for? What are you going to talk about? What are they going to learn? And why is that important to them? So the 3 W's. So who is your podcast for?
Yeah. So my podcast is for real estate agents that maybe want to grow their business, they're new in the business, or just always looking for a way to amp up the experience for their clients. And so with that being said, my guests that are on the podcast are top producing agents, or agents that have really found something creative that works for them. I'll give an example. One of the women I had on my podcast, she's a top producing agent who loved to go to coaching events, right? Went to the Tom Ferry's and the Buffini's and all the things, right? Like, that's her jam. She loves learning. And she would meet all these real estate agents, and then she'd have a bunch of cards and she didn't do anything with it. So one day she's like, what do I do with these? And so every day she takes an hour out of her time to have at least 2 Zoom meetings with someone she's met at a conference. And as a result of that, she's done over 300 agent referrals here in the Phoenix market, because she took the time to be the person. So when someone said, I'm moving to the Phoenix market, or, you know, even if they're in Phoenix and they're on the other side of the valley, they're their go-to, right? And so learning interesting things like that to implement, if you are going to those conferences, that's the whole point, is to help agents and feature agents that are willing to share their knowledge and expertise to help elevate our industry as a whole.
I love it. Okay, so that's who. So real estate agents, that's who your audience is. Yep. And when you're inviting the real estate agents on, do you have a list of questions you share with them before that you're going to ask them so they have an idea as far as what they're going to talk about?
I do. So when I invite an agent, I'll basically give them a little synopsis of what the, just like we're talking about, what the podcast is about, what the goal is, and then some common questions. I like to keep my podcast very conversational, but I will say, you know, topics to include learning curves that you've overcome, certain things that you do really well, some mistakes that you've made. Basically, what would you tell yourself as a new agent? So we'd start with that, but most of it is like, how did you get into real estate? What's the backstory? What do you want to be known for? And what legacy do you want to lead? And then depending on what that agent specializes, whether it be prospecting systems, cold calling, I'll have them talk about that and basically what that flow looks like.
I love it. About how long are your podcasts?
I try to keep them under 45 minutes. There are some that are a little bit more talkative than others. But you know, I find that for myself, when I listen to podcasts, I don't have 2 hours to listen to a podcast. I just want something quick. If I'm, you know, walking on the treadmill or something, I can listen to it, take some nuggets from it, and then implement. I think if you add, you know, a podcast that's 2 hours long and it's filled with great information, that's great, but then you're overwhelmed with ideas and not implementation. So they're pretty concise. But yeah, I would say most are about like 30 minutes.
I love it. Yeah. If you get over 30 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes seems to be the sweet spot, like you say, for a walk on the treadmill or a walk outside. If you're getting over that, you have a course. That's not a podcast.
Yeah. My takeaway from what you were just saying, and same thing for the person who's just getting involved in it. I hear it all the time. I don't have the content. I love what you're saying is it's not about me and me giving the content. I'm letting somebody else shine, tell their story, get their information out there. And that, so if you're sitting back and saying, should I start podcasting or not? It's a great way to do it because it's about them. It's not about you. And it makes content that much easier.
Yeah, 100%. And it's just incredible to see the things that people have done. And selfishly, as a mortgage professional, I learn, you know, prospecting ideas or system ideas from the agents that I have on the podcast. Because if you're in mortgage, a lot of us can, you know, adjust the audience to the real estate agents, whether it's follow-up or whatever it may be. So I can learn just as much as, you know, people listening to the podcast by sitting there and talking to the experts in their field.
Yep. Okay. So you're doing a podcast. You're not an originator.
Correct.
So you're doing business development for how many originators?
So we've got a pretty robust team, but for myself, I feed 3 loan officers on our team and they have different personalities. So that's how I decide what agent is going with who. Based off of the personality and work style of the agent, I will pair appropriately with a loan officer.
Okay. So if you're listening to this or you're watching us live and you're thinking, well, I don't have a Rachel. I would love to have a Rachel, but I don't have a Rachel. So the follow-up on it, I think, is important because you're doing these wonderful interviews and you're posting them out. So the company that you're working with, the podcasting company, do they post it for you or do you post it?
On social media, as far as like the actual podcast platforms, they post it.
Okay. So they put them onto the directories.
Yep.
And I know I found you, you're on Apple and I think I saw you on a couple others. So there's a lot of different directories that you can be on. So they post it out. Then what happens? What do you do next?
Yeah, so I have a social media campaign that talks about the different agents. So it'll have their picture, the topic. I just design that in Canva, or my assistant will design it in Canva. And then we push it out, I link it in there. And so that's a great way for them to see that the podcast is posted and shared on their social channels as well. And then my guests get added into a Facebook group. So there is a Facebook group for podcast guests. So that way, if I interview someone in Boston who has a referral in Arizona, he or she could say, oh, I really liked Stephanie's episode. I want to send my referral to her because we're similar in business style. So I took it a step further and created a referral group based off of my agents. And then we also have a mastermind coming up. So my Arizona agents that have been on the podcast are going to all get together and share best practices. So you can really take it further than just record and forget. And I encourage you to, because it's an awesome tool and it's building credibility within the industry. I will tell you that asking agents to come on and talk about how, what made them great, I'm not getting a lot of no's. I'll tell you that. Like, they're excited. I have a wait list. And my goal is to have an agent in every state, and we don't talk about mortgages. I mean, most of them, you know, don't even realize I'm in mortgage until we start talking and planning prior to the podcast. But I want to create a referral system and be seen as a connector and an educator in the industry.
I love it. Okay. So brilliant, my girl. This is so amazing. I want you guys to pay attention. So it's not just about the podcast. It's about what happens with, during, and after the podcast. I love that you created a Facebook group, because by creating a community of real estate agents that, I mean, they could consider I'm competing, but your goal is not just in your local market. Your goal is to create across the country and to help them have referral sources. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Yeah. So create a Facebook group for that. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, I was just going to say what really sticks out here that it seems painfully obvious, but a lot of times, well, I'm going to do a podcast. Well, who's going to listen to my podcast? It doesn't matter. The point of your podcast isn't who's going to listen to your podcast. It's the relationship you're building with the guests you're bringing on.
Correct.
Like if a single person doesn't find your podcast, that's perfectly cool, because you're going to have, what are you doing, one a week?
Two a week.
Two a week. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's 100 agents a year that you're going to be able to build relationships with. If only 20% of those agents end up sending you business this year, that's astronomical. And it's just, it's servant leadership. It's brilliant. It's really, really smart.
Love the connectivity, right? So a lot of this came from the person who did the 300 agent referrals. Cause I'm like, how can I connect all of these agents and be of a service? And so I'm, you know, interviewing people in states that we're not even licensed in. And some of the business development people that I've trained, I'm like, if you've got someone that you're trying to get in front of, send them over to me. And I'll say, hey, this person recommended you. I'm not going to go after your client, but it's, you know, it's service to me too. If someone in New York comes on the podcast, we're not licensed in New York, but if someone comes on the podcast and I can say, hey, so-and-so recommended you, Ginger recommended you, I want to interview you. And now if that New York person has a referral, they can send it to my people. And then they'll tell people, hey, I got a referral from this podcast. You should be on the podcast. So exactly. For me, it's the connectivity. It's a marathon game. I'm not trying to get a deal out of any of these people right away. I'm not trying to hard sell, but if there's a personality match, I'm going to, you know, bond with them.
Yeah. That's
so important. People always, and it's not just our industry, I know, but I think we tend to be short-sighted in terms of return. And the fact that you say, and it's so blatantly clear, that this is a marathon.
Yeah.
This is not a sprint. This is about branding. This is about building your network, your influence, and to do it consistently. So you can't just do, oh, I've done, you know, 6 months of podcasts.
Right.
I'm done. It's like, no. This is one of those things, you need to do it and need to do it for the long run.
You know, our friend, Jason Frazier, uses this term, return on engagement. instead of ROI, is return on engagement. And that's exactly what this strategy is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So true. Okay. So one last thing I want to ask you about, and then we're going to probably run out of time, but we definitely want you back again.
Well, thanks.
Okay. So you do the podcast.
Yep.
Share with them. You put them into the Facebook group. You interact with them on the Facebook group. And now you're talking about a mastermind. So talk to me about the mastermind.
So I think it's really great that agents can come on and share in 30 minutes, but I know these people have more secrets than 30 minutes will allow. And I find that the best producing real estate agents are the ones that are willing to share and willing to receive. Right. And so why not put like-minded individuals together, even though they're from different brokerages, to say, hey, what am I doing? Perfect example. There were two agents that came on the podcast. We do happen to work with both of them, so I know them pretty well. But they had never met each other and they're in the same market. And so one agent was like, hey, I really like Katie's videos. Do you know like how she does her videos or who she uses? I'm like, why don't we just get together? So we went and we had lunch and the agents got to know each other and they shared best practices. And Katie shared with her the video person that she uses. And they don't see each other as competition. They see each other as people that will help elevate, right? It's nice to know that there's somebody else that wants to be the best agent that they can be. What tools can they share? Just like this call, right? We're all in the loan space in some form or fashion or in the industry in some form or fashion. But if we share ideas with one another, there's so much business for all of us, guys. Like, stop looking at people as competition. Take those ideas and run with it. Put your own spin on it and be willing to share the ideas that have worked with you.
Yep. I love
Where are you doing your lunch and learn? Have you
at our office?
Oh, yeah. Welcome. Because I think Total Wine and More is open again.
They are, yes.
Yep. So there's that free classroom in the back of Total Wine and More. You can get about a dozen people in there and they will do a wine tasting for your agents if you get like 11 or 12 people to show up.
We know where Scott's hanging out.
Well, Scott's in Denver now. How do you know about this place in Phoenix? That's what I want to know about.
It's Total Wine and More. It's their nationwide.
It's a big brand.
Yeah. It's like
in Oregon. How come we don't, do we, I'm going to have to,
I don't know. You might have them. They're pretty reputable.
We have wine here. So
I've spoken in several of them, Ginger. People have booked me and they're like, we're having it in Total Wine and More. So I've spoken in Charlotte. I spoke somewhere in Florida. They all have rooms for this kind of thing. Yep.
Yeah.
And it's free. Yeah. Once a month.
And it's free. Okay. So I think the next thing, and we're coming up on time. So on a side note, if you're watching the recording of this, my apologies, we're recording this in May, but June is homeownership month and I'm beginning to book some events, and Steve, you are going to be all over this. I know. But I think there's an opportunity in this whole Total Wine and More place. We should contact them, Rachel and Scott and Steve, and see if we can start setting up some June homeownership meetings. Because that's an opportunity to build into there. So that's just where my mind went. But on another note, I want you, if you're thinking about doing a podcast, don't be intimidated to get started with it and to follow what Rachel's done. And so Rachel, I'm going to, first of all, thank you so much. I mean, it's like, I don't want this to end. I'm flying to Phoenix. I'm there. We're going
to Total Wine. Come on, we'll go to Total Wine. You can take a tour here at the Phoenix location.
Totally. We are spending time together, girl. But thank you so much for sharing. I truly appreciate it. Absolutely amazing. And so what I'd ask of you is to leave our audience, if they were to do one thing today, one thing that would make a difference in their business, whether it's educating or, you know, being able to talk to other real estate agents, what would that one thing be that you would suggest to them?
Increase your connections. And I leave that kind of broad, as in, you know, go out to events, go meet individual people that know agents, go meet agents. If you're a loan officer, if you're an agent, go meet other agents, right? The more people you come across, the more opportunities you have to grow your business. And even if a person isn't business specific, let's say it's a financial advisor, they're still going and prospecting, right? So take ideas and alter them to what you're looking to do, but connect with people.
I love it. Thank you. Guys, thank you so much. Rachel, thank you. And we look forward to seeing you all next week. Now, go record a video or something.
Yes, something.
Y'all are great. Thank you.
Bye.